Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you, getting ready for Titans and Jags, what we've been talking about all week. Also, Preds in action tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. We have a tremendous show planned for you for our Power Play segment today at 9:45. A weekly staple on the show now, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, covers the NHL for them. We'll talk to him, and then 10:30, Fox 17 sports director Jill Jelinek will give us the latest on the Titans. But we'll start things off with this, Michelle, as DeMar Hamlin's father actually addressed the Bills last night via Zoom, provided a small update on his son, but said that, you know, he's improving, he's showing signs of improvement. And Adam Schefter reported that, quote, the team needed that. I know Sean McDermott and the Bills are scheduled to address the media today for the first time since everything happened. Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, addressed the media yesterday and kind of gave the perspective from his point of view. But, it's one of those things that I think we all wake up every day hoping and praying that we're just going to get this huge update, that he's awake and all that. And it's a slow-moving process. And I think in some ways, the slower the process, maybe the better. I mean, because you just cannot rush these things. The human body is crazy in how it heals. But I just know that we all continue to pray and send good vibes to DeMar Hamlin. I love that pretty much every team in the league has changed their Twitter avatar to a three or something for him. I saw NHL players wearing shirts in support for him last night. So the well wishes continue.
No, 100%, Chase. I think, you know, there has been a lot of positive things, such as his toy drive has over $6 million, and his goal was $2,500. So when he wakes up, that'll be amazing to see. I think his jersey is the most purchased as of late, and, you know, hopefully that this movement just continues. And Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, is supposed to talk to the media today, and they're supposed to have media availability. So you hope that because of that, there is maybe some positive improvements because they are speaking to the media. Diana Rossini had that report earlier this morning. So on the lookout for that, if when he speaks to the media, there's any updates. But, you know, you feel for those players because in their minds, they're thinking, okay, we're going to get a lot of questions asked about this. But yeah, so they should be speaking to the media this morning, still waiting to see what time that will be out. But we'll keep you updated on the situation. And like you said, Chase, we're kind of just waiting and praying and hoping that we hear something positive moving forward.
Yeah, and if Sean McDermott does happen to speak during our show, you will hear that. So
correct.
We will go to that for sure. But the Titans continue to get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars and a winner-take-all this weekend in Jacksonville, Saturday night. Of course, we'll have our pregame show from Twin Peaks with Jared, Derek, and Chris Sanders from 4:30 to 6:30. But the reason that the Titans will win, and one thing you're going to learn, Michelle, is, this has happened a few times with D-Mace and with Willie, that as the week goes on, I just get these feelings, these just weird feelings.
You get these vibes?
These vibes. We vibing. But there, on paper and in everybody's mind, and when you look at the matchup, there is no reason whatsoever the Titans should win this game.
Nope.
Ryan Tannehill's hurt. He's on IR. I mean, they got a ton of key players that are either on IR and won't play, or they're banged up. Derrick Henry, I don't think is 100%. They have a makeshift offensive line. I mean, there are all these reasons stacked against the Titans, and they don't have the confidence that the Jags do. The Jags believe that they're a good team right now, and they're playing like a good team right now. So all of that is stacked against the Titans. But I'm just starting to get this weird feeling that we're going to see the return of the Vrabel special, and they're going to go down there and shock the world and win this game. And I think that the key to that, and the reason that the Titans will win, wears 22, and it's Derrick Henry. And I listened to some of him yesterday and just how motivated he really, really is. And you can tell, and I mean, you know, he's a man of few words, no matter what. And I mean, you were there.
Yeah, but I mean, he makes you listen.
Yeah, and it's like, I think sometimes you know, we'll say like, well, that guy's a leader. And you don't really realize how important that is. But the pillars that they have on that team, starting with Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard, that right there is very, very important to have. And guys, like you said, they listen to that.
100%. And, you know, I remember in training camp this past year just asking rookies, you know, how excited they were to play with Derrick Henry and be on a team with Derrick Henry, because you see these videos in the offseason of these insane workouts you go through, and that just takes not only physical strength but mental strength as well. And you can just tell the way he leads in a practice, and people get so excited to play with him and be on his team, to have the opportunity to do with, I think, a future Hall of Famer someday. But Chase, you're right. I mean, when he always goes in front of the media, stands at the podium to have his press availability, you know, he's straight to the point and sometimes almost detached, but just speaking, because you can tell he is so focused and locked in on this game for Sunday, and he doesn't want any other distractions. He doesn't want to talk about anything else. He's locked in. He says, you know, this is what we got to do to win. I need to work on somebody. John Burton asked him about fumbles yesterday, talked about ball security, how he's working on that this week.
Well, that's what I was about to lead into, because that is the big thing, mm-hmm. is the ball security. And, you know, it's been uncharacteristic for him because he has – lost some fumbles as of late, and as you mentioned, he was asked about that yesterday.
Derrick, you've never been known as, you know, fumbler or anything like that. Are you doing anything extra in terms of ball security, anything individually in practice?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been, you know, trying to do the best I can to work on it, harp on it. Me and Coach Jew's working on it a lot. Whenever we are doing anything with the ball, just make sure I'm keeping it high and tight, being conscious of it when I'm out there trying to fight for extra yards. That's, you know, usually when stuff like that happens, you're not paying attention, and defensive players come from behind, raking the ball out, and just doing everything I can to make sure I take care of the ball and don't put us in no critical situation, you know, when the ball comes out.
Derrick, you've never played.
Yeah, so I picture this with Derrick Henry, and I don't know if it was like this when you were in high school, but when I was in high school, you always knew when they had been working with the receivers or running backs on ball security, because you'd see them walking around going to class holding the football. And we had a thing where coaches would tell everybody, hey, you punch the football, see if you can punch the football out.
And I love that. Chase in the hallway, just punch the football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a thing. And I know a lot of places did that. I can totally see in my head Derrick Henry walking around the Titans facility all week with a football.
I love
and,
that.
And
yeah.
Holding on to it. I mean, because it is so important. The reason they lost to the Jags before was all the turnovers. And Mike Vrabel and his staff, Shane Bowen on the defensive side, is trying to get the Jags to turn it over. Todd Downing is preaching taking care of the football. That's – you can't beat yourself. You know, because I will say this. If they go down to Jacksonville – and they play their game, and they stay on schedule, like Mike Vrabel likes to say, and they don't do anything to shoot themselves in the foot, and they lose the game because the Jags were just a little bit better, I can live with that.
Yep.
And I think they can live with that, too. That it would suck, but you go, hey, we did everything we could, and the better team won. But if you go down there and you make mistakes and you help them, then that's where the problems are.
Well, and we all know the famous, infamous quote from Mike Vrabel, don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team, and you can fill in whatever word you want there, but it's penalties, it's turnovers, it's fumbles, and I mean, even yesterday when they had that open portion of practice, Tony Dews was doing a drill with the running backs where they all were holding the ball,
yep.
And they would fall back and do a trust fall, and he would try to punch the ball out, right? So they're practicing ball security. I've never seen them do that drill before, and I usually stay for the open portion. So obviously it's an emphasis this week, and Chase, I agree. And if you're a fan of this team, you know the Jags have a franchise quarterback, and they're definitely surging within this division. But if you could do something that this franchise hasn't done before and win three straight division titles and not beat yourself in this game, that's going to be key. And no false starts, no holding penalties, no fumbles. Try to play clean football.
Don't hurt yourself. That's the key. You know, you got to do, like I said, if there's anything that it's just you don't hurt the team, you don't hurt yourself, and you go out there and you play your best game and you still lose, then that's it. That's football. That's sports. I mean, it's the better team won. But if you help them, you do things to give them the football, then that's on you. And I know that Mike Vrabel is certainly preaching that. And, you know, now, excuse me, sorry. As I, you know, we said all week, I'm curious to see what this combo of Josh Dobbs and Derrick Henry looks like. I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, but
you know, can hope.
I mean, that'd be great for one game, but I think it's going to certainly be a cool combo with the talents and the athleticism that both of them have. And the big thing for Josh Dobbs is it takes some pressure off of him. So coming up next, can this combo of Derrick Henry and Joshua Dobbs get it done? And do you believe that Derrick Henry is the key to success this weekend against the Jags? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Feel free to weigh in on that anytime. Hey, our game of the week is this Sunday on 94.9 The Fan, and it'll feature, of course, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington Commanders at 325. The game of the week is presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Well, first and foremost, those two alone I don't think can win this game because the offensive line has to do its part. That's what I fear most about this matchup, Caroline, is the O-line has been so detrimental, either keeping drives alive, not even on scoring drives, just time of possession, where you're moving the sticks or you're getting a second and short that ends up being first and 15. Like those are drive killers. So let's start there, and it takes Henry out of the plan for third down when he's actually on the field, even on third and short. So let's start there. But Henry has to have a vintage Henry game. And keep in mind, the last three times, I believe, he's rushed for over 100 yards, this has been a loss for this team. Like they have to be able to sustain drives, put it away, and when he has gotten to that vintage Henry look at times this season, I feel like they've gone away from him, especially during the second and third quarters of those games. So that's where I would start. I would also say that Dobbs just needs to protect the football.
That's Jonathan Hutton yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle here with you as the Titans get ready to take on the Jags. Interesting thing, because I asked the question, can the combo of Henry and Dobbs get it done? Hutton brings up the offensive line. I couldn't agree more. I mean, the offensive line has to do whatever they need to do to get in the right space and then just make it all work. And then he also says Henry needs to be vintage. Henry, if you look at the stats last time against the Jags, and it's well documented, the turnovers that they had in that game, including two fumbles by Derrick Henry, Henry was still 17 carries for 121 yards and a touch. Yeah. So, I mean,
you're not even in that game. If you
don't, know the outcome of that game, you just look at 17, 121, and one touchdown, you think, oh, the Titans won. That's what's crazy. Yeah. And as he pointed out, he has been over 100 yards the last three games, and they've still lost. So that, you know, it used to be where you could fall on that and you could say, all right, well, Derek is the catalyst. He's the bell cow who'll get it done. Well, it's clear now that there are other things that need to happen for them to win this game.
100%. And, I mean, we touched on it in the first segment, right? Derek Henry can have a huge game like that. And we see it in the NFL all the time. But if you have a couple crucial turnovers, a couple crucial penalties, those can be the story of the game. I mean, I look back at the PI call. Who was the last game in Nissan Stadium? Why am I blanking? Oh, the
Dallas.
Cowboys. Dallas. Oh, my gosh. Duh. Thursday night, right? The 51-yard penalty, pass interference. And, I mean, at that point, you just need to look up. The ball is over the receiver's head. Things like that, where you give Dallas 51 yards and then they score a touchdown after that, that can't happen. Because if you let things like that happen in this game on Saturday, that is how you lose the game. If Derrick Henry, like Hutton said, can be vintage Derrick Henry, I actually do think that the offensive line looked okay on Thursday with a very good Dallas front,
yep,
defensive front. I thought that Josh Dobbs did have some time to pass back there. But, you know, the positive heading into this game is he's actually going to have a run game. They had no run game on Thursday Night Football. So he's going to have more options back there. But if the offensive line can take, you know, another step forward, you can get some guys back. That Jags front is not as good as the Dallas Cowboys front.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think Henry has to at least set the tone and be a threat early to have a chance. But I think the Jags will score enough points that Dobbs will have to be the key to winning. That's what concerns me. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, you know, it's not any indictment towards Dobbs. It's just he's never had to be in that position. This is his second career start. And, you know, this isn't the Dobnail boot against Georgia. I mean, that'd be great. It throws a 50-yard bomb to Nick Westbrook-Akina. But you're going to be – I'm afraid Ben could be right that you're going to put him in a position where he's going to have to throw the football. Now, they attempted 39 passes last week against Dallas. As you alluded to, they didn't have a run game. But I am hopeful that they maintain – the back and forth enough with Henry where they don't have to take Henry out of the game plan.
Well, and I don't trust this team. If they start off the game and they come out flat and they don't score first, I don't trust this team to be able to come back when they're down 14 or even when they're down 10, right? I don't trust Josh Dobbs yet to be able to do that. So I think a lot of what this game will come down to is how the tone is set at the beginning of the game. This Tennessee Titans team, I mean, obviously you want to be the first team to get points on the board in a game. But if this team can come out and Derrick Henry, you know, sets the tone, breaks a big one in the first quarter, in one of the first drives, I mean, that's going to be huge for this team. Talk to Jeffrey Simmons in the locker room this week, and we said, you know, it's going to be a playoff environment in Jacksonville. And a couple of the Jacksonville players also spoke this week. They said it's going to be lit. And I quote, lit. So it's going to be a playoff environment. And Jeffrey Simmons was like, we feed off that.
Oh, yeah.
We love being an underdog. We've seen it. You called it the Mike Vrabel special. So if they can feed off that, they really need to come out strong on the offensive side of things. And then if the defense can just, you know, they have their guys back somewhat healthy coming off a rest week, they can just do their thing. Be serviceable. I think that's the key.
If you look at the games for the Jags since the bye week, they've had four games where they've scored over 25 points. And three of those have been over 30 points. Last week, 31 against Houston. They had 40 on Dallas, in which they won in overtime, 36 against the Titans, and then 28 against Baltimore. And they've only lost the one game since the bye, and that was to Detroit.
And the most points the Titans have scored this season is 27 in Thursday Night Football in Green Bay. So, yeah, that's the game you don't want to play because this Titans team.
They'll outscore you.
Yeah, and so the defense, I mean, listen, you let Trevor Lawrence pass all over the field in Nissan Stadium. So, I mean, two of the keys for me on defense, this is the first time we're going to see a somewhat – you know, fresh Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry together since about October. And, I mean, Shane Bowen said it yesterday. He's like, Danico's been – he doesn't like being in the training room. He wants to get out there. I mean, this is the first football game that he's going to be able to play in, you know, five weeks. Hasn't played in the last 5 or 6 weeks of football. So that is – the front is going to be huge. They need to put pressure on Trevor Lawrence because he's been performing at an exceptional level.
615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Jim. He wants to weigh in on Derrick Henry and the Titans. Jim, welcome in.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And this comment about Derrick Henry, I'm an Alabama fan, so I followed him throughout his career at Alabama. I followed him here. Never, ever underestimate what he can do. He's called the king. There are days that he's ought to be called the beast because he is that dominant, and it can happen at any time, and it could happen Sunday. And if Dobbs can give him a little bit of a window where they aren't sure what's going to happen, then he could unleash a big one. And he's got the history behind him to defend that. Second question I have is relative to the overall injury situation with the Titans. So, you know, injuries are a part of life in the NFL, Every team's got them. Some's got it less. Some's got it worse. If five, on a scale of 1 to 10, the five is sort of average injury rate for teams in the NFL this time of year, what are the Titans? Are they an 8 on that scale?
Is it out of 10?
Are they a 6?
I mean, they might be at 11 out of 10 right now the last 2 years.
Well, and I guess that proves my point is that, you know, injury luck or bad luck plays a part in all of this. And, you know, you can't really argue against that. And it's terrible what's happened to them. And maybe Robinson's to blame that there's no backup to all the injuries. You know, it is what it is. And you've just got to roll with those punches with all the injuries. And I can't look down on the Titans. I can't look down on the offensive coordinator, for that matter.
Sure.
Given all of the injuries that have happened to the Titans. And that's my comment. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jim.
It. Real quick, do want to pause this. Just saw this on Twitter. Kair Elam, who is a teammate of DeMar Hamlin's with the Bills, says, quote, "Our boy is doing better, awake and showing more signs of improvement. Thank you, God. Keep the prayers coming, please. All love, 3.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
that's
that amazing. Just blowing Twitter up right now, which is awesome. So that is great news to hear that DeMar Hamlin is awake and showing more signs of improvement. So, again, the Bills are scheduled to speak today, and Sean McDermott is scheduled to speak today. I kind of figured when that came out that they were going to talk, that there might be some good news.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that that's
looks like
happening
we got
right
it.
Now. So that is fantastic. But look, I'm not going to blame John Robinson for injuries. Now, you can look at training staff and what they do, and I don't know. I'm not an expert on any of that. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on any of that. I have said a few times on the show that I think sometimes Mike Vrabel and coaches around the league in general can be a little too careful, especially in training camp and preseason games, and you know, therefore you're not getting your body acclimated to the hits and everything that goes with it. But again, I'm not an expert, you know, and he may have people that are obviously smarter than I am saying that, you know, they don't need to take that much of a pounding early in the season. That's where we are, though. I mean, to kind of tie this to the whole situation this week, we have learned so much about injuries and the effects of the game of football in the last 10 to 15 years than we did way before. Gone are the days of you don't need water. Oh, rub some dirt on it. Play through it. You know,
it.
All
You're
those
fine.
Things. CTE, concussions, all of those things. Being, you know, using the analogy of you're in a car wreck on every play. I mean, we know a lot more now. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you know, that's why coaches and teams are careful. But I can't explain why the Titans have all the injuries that they do. I mean, I wish I could, but the last 2 years, I mean, that has been, even though they were the number one seed last year, you know, that was remarkable. But I would say this year, if you're pointing to a lot of things, the injuries certainly have a lot to do with it.
I mean 100%, and I think this year too we're seeing it impact the defense more than it did last year, right? Between Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton has been a guy week to week we just don't really know. Danico Autry, we already talked about. Even Jeffrey Simmons being injured and playing through it all but not being 100% himself. And yes, we know it's the NFL and we know that guys are bound to get injured week to week, but it is so concerning that it has happened to this Tennessee Titans team. I mean, they broke the record for most players used last year, and I feel like it almost was looked at as an accomplishment for Mike Vrabel. Like, he was able to prevail and they were able to get guys off practice squads and they became the number one seed. But you think, I remember one of the biggest conversations in the offseason during training camp, looking at this team, watching them practice, and we kept saying, well, you know what? One of the big differences heading into this year is there is no way that they can be affected by this many injuries that they were affected by last year. But here we are almost in the exact same situation, and now your quarterback's injured and a lot of really, really important players to this team, Chase.
Yes, absolutely. So we will continue to discuss the Titans and the Jags coming up in just a little bit. Jill Jelinek of Fox 17 will join us at 10:30. But up next, the Predators have a big one, what I call a measuring stick game tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's funny. There hasn't been much change. It's, you know, we obviously have our little adjustments that we make within teams that we're playing against and all that. But, you know, I think just overall we're playing better. We're playing faster. We're executing more. And we're more in sync as a team right now. And that's just leading to creating better opportunities for ourselves and with us just being able to get rewarded more often but you know, guys are making plays too when we're pucks on our stick and we're executing and we're finding ways to score for our club a lot better.
That's Ryan Johansson yesterday on our show. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser bringing one of my favorite songs back in. A little Def Leppard on a Thursday. Before we continue with the Predators discussion, during the break, the Bills released another statement, Michelle.
Yeah, so this is on the Bills' official Twitter. Per the physicians caring for DeMar Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, DeMar has shown remarkable improvement over the last 24 hours. While still critically ill, he has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal, and he is making steady progress. We are grateful for the love and support we have received. So, Chase, you and I talked. The fact that they mentioned in there he appears to be neurologically intact, that was one of the biggest things we were worried about, what people were worried about, because, you know, when your body is – you're cut off from – your brain doesn't have oxygen for that long – you don't know what the neurological effects could be or if anything happened in those 9 minutes that he was receiving CPR. So that is definitely good news from the Buffalo Bills. And like we said, Sean McDermott will be speaking at some point this morning, later afternoon. But if it's during our showtime, we definitely will play that for you all.
Yes, absolutely. So continuing to get some good news on DeMar Hamlin. We'll have Greg Wyshynski of ESPN talking hockey coming up in a few minutes. But Predators with a big one tonight as they will take on the Carolina Hurricanes for game one of a 5-game road trip. And, you know, if you missed our conversation with Ryan Johansson yesterday, you can go to thegamenashville.com, check that out, subscribe to the Chase and Michelle podcast. But, you know, I asked him about the road trip as a whole and how, you know, important it is to kind of have that team bonding. You're going to have some pretty tough games on this 5-game home trip, but the game tonight being a measuring stick game against Carolina and how important that will be.
Yep, absolutely. It's a club that we've seen a lot of in the past couple of years and a few years with that COVID year and whatnot. And, you know, definitely a team we want to go in there and take 2 points in their building. And it'll be one we'll feel good about for sure. And a tough building to play in and a good hockey club, like you said. So, yeah, it'll be a good challenge, but we're ready for it and looking forward to the game.
Yeah, because that's what I want to see, Michelle, is they've, you know, the way they've played as of late. I thought they played a solid game against Vegas. Yes, they fell in overtime, but it was a come from behind with the hat trick by Philip Forsberg. So they got a point out of that. That was positive. You know, they were right there with Dallas, and unfortunately Dallas scored in the closing seconds of the game to win that game. So it's one thing to beat teams like Anaheim. It's in Chicago and Montreal. That's you obviously have to have those. It's how do they stack up against the good teams in the league? And as of late, you know, I think you can say they've been hanging tough with the good teams in the league. I mean, they lost in overtime to Colorado. They won in overtime against Edmonton. You know, yes, they do have losses to both those teams, but the way they're playing, the fact that they're playing better, the fact that you had six different players score the other night, that is all positive. But tonight is one of those measuring stick type games where you can really see where you're at, you know, and obviously you want to get the 2 points like Ryan Johansson said, but if they go in there and they hang tough and they lose by a goal, then you know that you're close, you know, or you feel like you're close, but that I think if they can get a victory against a team like that, that's going to continue to build this confidence.
Well, and you know that you can hang with some of the top teams in the NHL. I mean, the Hurricanes right now are sitting second just behind the Bruins in the Eastern Conference. They're 25-7-6, whereas the Preds are, where are they right here? They're 16-14-6. So listen, they're trending upwards right now. They had that losing streak at the beginning of the season, but we've finally seen things being able to click for them. We've seen Philip Forsberg kind of get hot. You said he had the hat trick the other night. We've seen Matt Duchene be able to produce a little bit more. And then we also yesterday talked about all these young guys, Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, Juuso Parsonens. We've seen these guys be able to perform offensively for them. But I think you're right, Chase. This is a huge measuring stick. We got a Nino Niederreiter revenge game tonight. So I was mad.
His return.
I was mad I couldn't pick him and pick to click tonight. But
who got him?
The listener did.
Oh, man,
the listener
smart.
Got him tonight. So we chose him, Forsberg, Duchene, and I picked Tommy Novak because he's on a heater right now. But I think you're completely right. It is, and it's also going to set the tone, I think, for this road trip, right? They're going on a 5-game road trip right now. They got the win at home, which you really wanted to get that last win at home before you're away for the next 5 days. If you can, you know, hang with the Hurricane knowing that they are one of the top teams in the NHL right now, I think it's a huge confidence boost. But I also think it does set the tone for this road trip, Chase.
Yeah, and that's tone setters are big. And you could hear that in Ryan Johansson's voice yesterday. I love the Nino Niederreiter revenge game because, you know, as Joey talked about, Nino has been a really nice addition. Now, I will say this, the fact that Forsberg has surpassed him now for the leading goals on the team is, no offense to Nino, a good thing.
Yes, yes, it is a good thing.
That's what you want. But Nino second with 12 goals. Philip now has 14, 33 points. I mean, Forsberg, and he's going to have to be a key factor tonight against them because Carolina's got a ton of firepower, you know, with Svechnikov and Aho and, you know, just and I think as Joey alluded to, they know these guys. They've seen these guys, you know, the last few years quite a lot, and then including being in the COVID division. To be honest with you, I would love to have Carolina in the same division as the Preds. I mean, it just makes so much sense being, you know, so close to Raleigh that these two Southeastern teams could certainly have some fun. But you got to look to guys like Forsberg, like Duchene, like Josi, like Niederreiter, and Johansson. I mean, I think Joey would be the first to tell you he's got to play better. Uh-huh. And they need more out of Ryan Johansson. And hopefully that can start tonight. I'll have pregame coverage for you starting at 5. Max Hurst, Hal Gill will be on the call for that one as they will drop the puck just after 6 o'clock. Coming up next, a new weekly segment that we're going to have. You know, every day at 9:45, that's the power play. We'll always talk hockey during that segment. But Greg Wyshynski of ESPN going to join us at 9:45 every Thursday. Looking forward to that. We will talk to Greg next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. I love this theme. I'm so glad it's back. The NHL on ESPN. Speaking of, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from the NHL on ESPN. Greg, how you doing?
Yeah, that's where I am.
That's
I'm
you.
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Excited to be able to talk to you about some hockey every week. And I want to start with this Nashville Predators team that takes on the Carolina Hurricanes later on tonight. But Philip Forsberg, as of late, is starting to show signs of being Philip Scoresberg. He scored in 3 of his last 5, including the hat trick game against Vegas. He did not score against Montreal, but did have a point. Do you feel like that Forsberg is starting to round into form as we enter 2023?
Well, you'd hope so. I mean, obviously there's been a bit of an offensive uptick lately for the Preds, which has been good to see. I mean, the offense has obviously been one of the team's main Achilles heels this season. I'm really intrigued by tonight's matchup, by the way. The Carolina Hurricanes are a pretty stout defensive team, especially on home ice. So I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. But you know, it's only a good thing to Gav Forsberg going. I think he's obviously one of the better offensive players in this league, and if he gets rolling, so should the offense get rolling.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And speaking of this offense, I mean, the you know, when I talk to David Poyle, when we've talked to John Hines, it's the top guys, the stars have to play like the stars, and Forsberg is obviously at the top of that list. But, you know, we're seeing Matt Duchene. He's been hit or miss at times, but playing better as of late. You bring in Nino Niederreiter, the former Hurricane, is a good piece, but I look at him as more of a secondary scorer. Roman Josi is Roman Josi, but when you see this roster, especially at the top, what do you see right now for the Nashville Predators?
Well, what I'm seeing is sort of that dispersal of talent throughout the lineup, and I think that's one of the more interesting things. You know, certain teams have certain reputations, and I think the reputation for the Predators has always been like loading up offensive lines. I mean, even going back to the old Arvidsson, Forsberg, Johansson years, right? But lately I've been seeing kind of a dispersal throughout the lineup of, you know, playing Forsberg on one line. I know they've put Johansson and Duchene together a bunch, but like Niederreiter playing down with Granlund and trying to spread out the scoring as best they can throughout the lineup. And I think that's what you have to do if you're Nashville. I mean, again, like goal scoring has been kind of a challenge this year. I know it's earned John Hines a bunch of criticism. So having those players throughout your lineup and trying to create as much depth as you can is probably the way to go.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL. Now, the Central Division right now has Dallas at the top, and I think we all thought it would be Colorado. We know why it's not. They've battled so many injuries this year, and I feel like as they get healthier, watch out, because here they come. But what is your thoughts on Dallas, Winnipeg, Minnesota, the top three in the Central Division right now?
Well, like you said, it's a bit of a topsy-turvy division right now, and I think Colorado is very much in a you got to be in it to win it mode. The President's Trophy is not going to be happening to them anytime soon with the amount of injuries that they've had. And slowly but surely, they're going to get healthier. Nikushkin's due back soon. They have to wait a little bit longer for Gabe Landeskog and Bowen Byram, but they'll hopefully come back by the end of the year. And they know essentially the team that they have and how good it is, although they'll probably need to load up with another center at the trade deadline. The big surprise, you know, for me is seeing Winnipeg thrive under Rick Bonus as their head coach. He's come in there and instilled a sense of accountability. He's gotten guys that have never looked like they wanted to play defense on that team. He's allowed their defense to activate offensively in the case of Josh Morrissey, who's having an incredible season. But most of all, like Connor Hellebuck, who has been the sole responsibility of getting them into the playoffs in previous years, looks like himself again. That's made all the difference. And in Dallas's case, I told everybody before the season, man, Pete DeBoer, that guy goes to a market, he goes to a team. That team's usually playing for the cup that year. Like, he's got a knack for having incredible first seasons with teams, maybe not great third seasons, and by the fourth season, he's usually at the door. But the first season is really good, and you bring him in, you have you know, talent throughout that lineup. You have that Jason Robertson line with Pavelski and Hintz, who I think got injured last night, unfortunately, but that line's been great. So Dallas has been on point, and I had someone tell me from my column this week, it's on ESPN.com now, about which teams have the highest hopes for the Stanley Cup, that they believe Dallas is in that rare league with Boston and Carolina and maybe a couple of others to be a true cup contender right now.
Yeah, and I put Pete DeBoer and Peter Laviolette like in the same ilk, that they're going to go in, they'll get results quick, and then I guess guys get tired of that hard, you know what, mentality that they bring. That's what it feels like.
It does feel like that. And I'll say this about Laviolette. I mean, obviously you guys know him pretty well. I was talking to somebody who knows the Caps pretty well the other day, and he's done a sneaky good job with that team. They were playing an aggressive physical game early in the season, and then they kind of changed tactics in the beginning of December to be more like, we're going to control pace of play. We're going to determine, you know, how fast our opponents can play. And it's really made a difference. I mean, defensively, they've been one of the better teams in the league since then. And they've certainly, I think they're catering more towards having an older team than the way they were trying to play earlier this season. So even the veteran coaches can sometimes change their tactics if they see they aren't working.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Now, the side of the, I guess, the standings that surprised me a little bit is the Pacific, especially seeing Seattle, their second year in the league, in third spot. Los Angeles, I felt like they would be better. I don't know if I thought they'd be second right now in the Pacific better, but I'm not as surprised about them. But what do you think about the Kraken?
The Kraken are an interesting team to think about in the context of, were they this good or potentially this good last season and they were just subverted by bad goaltending? Because that was kind of their contention. Their contention was, hey, you know, we might not be Vegas in year one, but we're a lot better than our record shows, and we're just not getting the saves. And so they're getting the saves, incredibly, from Martin Jones, who I think a lot of us thought was cooked and not necessarily a guy you could rely on to get you the saves. But the real difference for me is the emergence of Matty Beniers, who, you know, might be the favorite for the Calder Trophy right now for Rookie of the Year. Their weakest spot in that lineup was at center. Bringing him in and surrounding him with really talented veteran wingers that they had previously, and then bought in guys like Andre Burakovsky, you know, in the offseason. It's a really solid forward lineup. They play pretty well defensively. And as long as they keep on getting the goaltending, I think they're going to be right in the thick of things.
Greg, you know me. We talk a little wagering from time to time, and you're a regular on Daily Wager. So I have somebody that's asked me, you got any value plays for Cup future odds?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to be on Daily Wager again today, by the way. They're going to have me on talking about the Vegas Penguins game, which I'm trying to make heads or tails of right now, because trying to figure out the Penguins game to game is a real tough situation. I don't know what the futures on are right now for a team like Dallas, but that's one I'd look at as a team that could go quite a ways. Like we said, DeBoer in year one, usually on point. I got to imagine
plus 1600 is what I'm seeing.
Is Carolina the second choice behind Boston right now, or who's the second choice behind Boston?
Colorado still. I mean, it depends on what book, but I'm looking at Vegas Insider, and Colorado is still second behind Boston, and then Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina is the one if you're looking for a little bit better value than just going with the chalk. They're the team that I'm really fascinated by, just because we haven't necessarily seen their master plan come to fruition yet. We'll see it soon. Which was the acquisition of Max Pacioretty from the Vegas Golden Knights in the offseason. This Carolina team, I've covered them a lot in the playoffs. They're a team that just needed to find that, like, one goal in a game, be it a game seven, be it a critical elimination game, and their lineup just couldn't generate it. So them going out and getting Pacioretty and getting Brent Burns in the offseason to me was really intriguing. It was symbolic of a team knowing that they needed something to kind of get them over the hump. And I'm intrigued if they figured out the right formula. So if I was going to bet a future, I think I'd bet it on the Hurricanes. But there's probably some value deeper on that list if I could take a look at it.
So I'm curious of this, because Vegas says plus 1400 for the Devils. The Devils are second in their division right now. Are you buying them yet, or you still need to see more?
No, I'm buying them as a playoff team for sure. Like, I think they've righted the ship. They went through a real tough stretch in December where they were shooting, you know, under 6%, and their goaltending, which had been really good, had been faltering a little bit. But, you know, they're picking up points. They walloped Detroit last night. They looked much like themselves again. So I think they're going to be fine. But as a Cup team, the thing about the Devils that worries me is that it really is a league where the regular season is a different animal than the postseason. And the Devils, for all of their speed and puck possession and prowess offensively, don't really strike me as a team that knows how to kind of grit out a win in the playoffs yet. They've got some guys that will be able to do it. I mean, Andre Palat from the Lightning is a guy they acquired in the offseason for that very reason. But it's a young team. They still have to kind of learn how to win. I don't think they're Cup ready. But I do think that they're going to have a hell of an education if they make the playoffs. That'll really portend good things for them in the next couple of years.
Greg, great stuff. Good to talk to you, and we're looking forward to doing this every week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, talking NHL with us, will join us every Thursday at 9:45. Very, very excited about that. Coming up next, another update on Damar Hamlin that I've just seen on Twitter. Plus, how important can leadership really be for a team when it comes to the Titans especially? We'll discuss that next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.